All right. Hello and welcome back. Welcome back to the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching Ministry of the Wash and Word. My name is Matthew Bonona. Along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate the Wash and Word Hand Car Wash. And as you may know, we started this business for the sole purpose of getting God's Word in a verse by verse format out into the world in a way that is a little unorthodox from what we're used to. And we do this on purpose because we looked around and we said, you know what? This world has enough churches. It just doesn't have enough of the Word of God. So how can we self-support a ministry that gets the Word of God out there? And thus the Wash and Word was born. So we teach verse by verse. We do that very specifically and deliberately. We feel that the entire counsel of God's Word is the most effective. And, you know, it was always designed that way. To edify the body of Christ. We're not going to be equipped to do battle if we don't properly teach, preach, and obey the whole counsel of God's Word. And that's all of it, everything, Old Testament, New Testament, books like the Book of Numbers and Song of Solomon, and you know, books that you just don't want to read. You know, God didn't put them there for us not to read. He didn't put him there for us not to study, and he certainly didn't arrange his Bible so that we could pick and choose what the congregations will hear on a Sunday morning. No, we need to teach it all. We need to be understanding it all to the best of our human ability, and most importantly, we need to be obeying it. So that's what we do here. We're a self-supported ministry. Our motto is we want to settle the Word of God and not peddle it. So we never ask for any kind of charity or donations or anything. We trust God and rely on the work that He brings us, the physical ability that He gives us, and this is why we do what we do here. So we appreciate you coming. If you're in the waiting room, thank you for being here, and we should be having your car done shortly. And aside from that, would like to invite you out on Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. to Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road. That's where I teach verse by verse, Sunday nights at 6. And don't forget, anytime, any day, come to the Wash and Word parking lot, anywhere in the vicinity of this whole parking lot, and you can hear these messages being preached 24/7 on 107.1 FM. Any day of the week. All right, let's get back into it. We're covering John, 1 John chapter 4. We already read the verses 1 through 6. If you've missed those sermons, you can simply go to washandword.com, click on the media tab, and all of our messages are there to download and listen to for free. And so we started talking about discernment in our last teaching and how it is a word that we associate primarily with the body of Christ or with Christianity. But discernment's a word that the whole world needs to have. I mean, when we need to be able to discern right from wrong, discern wickedness from goodness, and we need to discern pretty much discernment is a part of everyday life. And one of the things we talked about was how often we miss or fail to discern the plan and the will and the confirmations of God for our lives. And we will sit there and pray over and over and over again and just keep seeking. And all the while, God has been showing us the answer, but we're either too busy or too distracted or just too caught up in something, or we're not staying long enough in our prayer and meditation, and we're not hearing from the Lord. And we think that He's not answering, but all the while, He's been answering in so many different ways, we're just not hearing. And then God, in His patience and His mercy, finally decides to show us a confirmation in a way that is so obvious. And then we're like, oh, thank you, God, for showing up. And all the while, God's like, I've been showing you for the last, you know, whatever, 2 months. I've showed you 15 different times the answer you're looking for. And only now you see it because I've made it completely obvious. And so we ended by saying the time between praying for God's will and knowing God's will can be greatly decreased if we will just use practical discernment. And another trap that we fall into is sometimes praying for a thing or waiting on the Lord to answer about something You know, and we know all the while it isn't something we should be doing. You know, I've done this before, or maybe you have too. We're asking God to show us a sign or reveal a particular thing to us when we know full well that thing we're praying for is not a godly thing. It doesn't line up with God's word, and that's just futile. And, you know, I wonder what God's reaction when we do stupid stuff like that must be. You know, when I was a younger man, I was convinced that smoking pot was a normal and an okay thing. Even when I became a Christian, you know, I continued to smoke. Yeah, that's right. Your radio teaching minister here used to be a pot-smoking Christian. Don't judge me. So were you. It may not have been pot, but you still did some things when you were first saved. It took some time to go out. But that's not the issue here. I'm not afraid to confess my sins because that's what we're supposed to do anyway, confess them to one another. But anyway, during those periods of my life, I could sense the Spirit trying to change my mentality. And, you know, and I'd hear the Spirit speaking, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't go out and buy this stuff. And then I'd be like, well, Lord, I'll tell you what, if this isn't meant to be, if I'm not meant to buy this bag of marijuana, well, then the person I'm supposed to meet to buy it from, have him not show up, and then I'll know it was you that said I shouldn't be doing that. I mean, that's just, looking back, ridiculous logic. But I think we've all been there in some degree or another. And believe me, you and I are capable of rationalizing anything in our lives if we want it bad enough. And if you take the word rationalize and you break it down, it's just rational lies. We're just making lies rational. And so as God begins to move in your life, he'll start to show you through discernment things that should have been very clear to you in the very beginning. But that's just all part of the process of sanctification. But there is another use of this exercise of discernment. And it is one that is far more useful than just determining the will of God for one's life. Because as I mentioned before, God has ways of making his will known, even to the most simple-minded, distracted, busy, and downright stupidest and stubborn of his children. And I can use harsh words like that because I have been in those categories many times. And in the last message, I called it the spiritual 2x4 effect, or the 2x4 method. And this is where God, in his ending of patience, finally says, "Ah, I've showed you so many times, you stubborn, pig-headed Christian," and then he takes a spiritual 2x4 and just whacks you over the head, and then all of a sudden, you see the light, and you see the answer, and you think, oh, thanks for finally showing that to me, God. But again, in our busyness, and our distraction, in our stubbornness and ignorance, God has been showing us all along. And so we need to learn how to grow in discerning the voice of the Lord. And we'll save ourselves a lot of time, probably save God a lot of grief and aggravation. And we can save ourselves a lot of grief and aggravation if we could just tune ourselves and tune our spiritual ears into what the Lord of the Holy Spirit is saying. And what John is dealing with here in this section is discernment. And that is the ability to know what is from God and what is from the devil. And that term, the devil, can really be broken down into a lot of different things. You know, we can determine what is from God and what is of the world. What is from God and what is just our flesh and our fleshly desires. What is from God and what is a subtle demeaning of the truth. They're different ways, but it's either coming from God or it's coming from a different place that's not God. It's the same concept of Jesus saying either you're with me or you're against me. And so when we say, when we're talking about the discernment between from what is God and what is from the devil, you might say, well, that's an easy one. If it doesn't feel like it's of God, if it doesn't feel like a spiritual thing, if it doesn't make me feel good and fuzzy on the inside, then of course it can't be from God. And to that I say, that is absolutely wrong. Yes, I just blew raspberries on the air, but I don't care. We have to get away from what we think is right, what we think feels right. We got to get away from our feelings because feelings lie. We've got to get away from anything that we think feels good. Chances are, if it feels good, it's probably not from God. You think, well, that's not the kind of God I want to serve. Listen, the things you think feel good is a lie. It's the devil telling you. And sure, there may be a moment of satisfaction and gratification, but the things that God has for you are going to do more than just make you feel good. They're going to make you good. And it's going to affect every part of your life. So it isn't just a feeling that passes or comes and goes. It's something that it's like eating properly and dieting right and exercising right. It affects your entire body. And this is what discerning the will of God and doing the will of God is going to do for your life. In fact, one of the greatest ways that Satan spreads his lies is to make them seem as close to the truth as possible. Audience, you do know who rules and runs this world system, don't you? If you would look at Ephesians 2, 1 through 5, you'll know that Satan is the ruler of this world system. And while he may have a grip on this world right now, it won't be that way forever. Listen to these scriptures. John 14:30 says, I will not speak with you much longer, Jesus talking. He says, for the prince of this world is coming, but he has no hold on me. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. John 12:31, Jesus says, now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And in John 16:11, and in regards to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. So even Jesus recognized that the prince of this world is temporarily controlling the things that are going on in this world. Now, God has ultimate control, but he has allowed the spirit of the Antichrist and the devil to work amongst for a time. And he has done this so that you and I can make conscious, clear, decisive, volitional choices for the Lord. So make no mistake, the devil runs and rules this world system. How else could he even have the gall to offer this world to Jesus if he would just bow to him? We read in Matthew 4 during the temptation. And I say gall because, I mean, Jesus created and holds all things together, yet here the devil is, in all of his haughtiness, trying to offer Jesus something that he doesn't truly own. Listen, God loves the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But he hates the world system. And he will take care of it. I promise you. The Bible promises God will come and straighten everything out. Jesus will come back and make sure everything goes back to the way it was originally meant to be. So in his great mercy, Jesus came to seek and to save those who are blinded by this world system. Again, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And so God brought forth light, and that he brought forth light so that the blind may see. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. That was one of his seven I am statements. And we're going to leave it at that and pick it up here in our next teaching. But Jesus is the light of the world. And in light, there can be no darkness. And the devil moves about in the shadows of darkness. So whenever light becomes present, he has to flee. And his time is short and his days are numbered. Until then, we must carry on the fight, and we must preach, please, preachers, pastors, ministers, if you're listening to these words, get back to preaching all of God's word. We need to hear the good, and we need to hear the bad, and we need to hear everything in between. Once again, we thank you for being here, joining me on these radio broadcasts. Don't forget to join me Sunday nights at 6 p.m. at Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road, for Live Verse by Verse. Have a blessed day.